The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now, Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday. Thank you for joining us for another episode of You're Welcome. You know, guys, lately I've been telling you all the success I've been having with the DDP Yoga program and how I've been using the DDP Yoga Now app. I've invited you guys to come and join me so we can discuss it on social media and support each other. That has been catching on, and we've been having a lot of fun. But DDP himself is so positive that you're absolutely going to love the DDPY program. He loves this show and the listeners. That right now he's doing something he's never done before. He's going to give it to you for a week to try out for free. You can explore the app, your own life, and it's completely free. And let me tell you right here, the DDPY app has everything. It's going to track from your weight to the inches you've lost. It's even got a pain index. DDP Yoga can work for all ages, weight, and fitness levels. It's a kick-ass cardio workout that will dramatically increase your flexibility and strengthen your core like never before, all with minimal joint impact. Just for listeners of this podcast, you can save 20% off an annual membership for the DDP Yoga Now app and all the DVD packs. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Chael to get started. And check this out. DDP is headed back to the UK and is putting on another DDPY Inspiration Meets Perspiration workshop for one night only. Guys, that's going to be Thursday, April 19th. At Frome Sports and Fitness in Somerset, England. Go on over there. It's an incredible 3-hour workshop. You'll even get to meet DDP, ask him questions, and get a kick-ass workout. Hear DDP's secrets for staying motivated, which is really the key to anything. Get your workshop tickets at ddpyogaworkshops.com. And if you can't make it, don't worry. You still got an opportunity to catch DDP in person at the Wales Comic Con on April 21st and April 22nd. Details are at WalesComicCon.com. Jacob, good morning.
Good morning.
And speaking of, did you do your yoga this morning?
Not today, but I did it yesterday.
What a shocker. What a shocker, my friend. Will you do it before you go to sleep?
Sure.
Well, that's all that matters, as long as you get it in.
I just need a special text or something.
Are you lying?
No, if you tell me to do it later in the day, I will do it.
You
got to remind me.
I'll give you a reminder.
Okay.
What do you got, buddy? I see you got some notes in front of you. Where should we go?
You know, okay.
Get us into this thing.
This is slightly old news, and I feel bad because we should have talked
about it. Did you go back and watch Roseanne, by the way?
No, I haven't. Thank you for reminding me again.
It was rotten garbage.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it was a ratings hit, though. 18. I didn't hate it, but yeah, it was garbage. It did 18 million, which was an incredible number. We'll see how much of that sticks around. Yeah. When I call it garbage, that isn't fair. It wasn't garbage, but it was there's so many times in a show, particularly a remake like this, of just things you want to hit, just things you want to go through. It's like, well, it needs to be a little bit fresh. You know what I'll compare it to? My time on Celebrity Apprentice. When we went on there, there were some big misses, and I don't blame this on Schwarzenegger in the least. I hope he doesn't take it as an insult. But his writers deserve to be insulted. They brought in Schwarzenegger. So they thought, well, let's do this. Let's have a lot of fun from the old lines that he used to use in blockbuster hits dating back to the 80s. So we'll have him say, get to the chopper. And we'll have him say, hasta la vista, baby. And it's like, guys, a couple of things. First off, you're dating yourself. And second off, you're giving me something fresh and new. But you're going out of your way to remind me that the gentleman who's the star of the show was a big deal in the 80s and the 90s, which is disrespectful to him, as though over the last 3 decades, he hasn't reinvented himself or done anything that's new and fresh. So we have to go back to the 80s. Roseanne had some of those obstacles, and the writers just can't get away from it. They just can't get away from impressing the director in the room and going, see, look, I did my homework. I watched the show back way back when. No. Get the cast together, get the set together, and then write fresh stuff. $18 million, they'll never see that number again. But it probably has some staying power. I think it has me. I think I'll stick around next week. But overall, it was the same miss that I see so many times when you attempt to do a remake.
When was the last time you actually remember a good remake of a TV show, though?
Well, that's a tough one. When's the last time they did a remake of a TV show?
There was one I remember off the top of my head called Ironside. You remember that one?
I do not.
Back in the day, I think it was about a cop who was in a wheelchair.
Okay.
And then they brought it back, and it failed within the first season. That's the most recent one I remember. But just TV shows in general. How do you remake a new TV? Like, for example, I'll just bring this up. How could you remake Game of Thrones? You can't.
Right.
You can't do that. You can't remake Sopranos. You hate that show, but you can't remake it.
Yeah. Game of Thrones, I mean, that's not far enough back for me to... for it fully to be relevant in this conversation, but I get your point. But I mean, I'll answer your question on how you do it. I'll tell you exactly how you do it. You go get the same cast and the same set, and that's as far as you go. That's as far as you go. And then you just do whatever's topical today. If those cast members work, if the chemistry worked, you bring the set back because that's kind of what a show is all about. You do the establishing shot of the house. You come to the living room and the kitchen in Roseanne's case, and you go from there. But you don't try to make in 2018 – a 1989 script, and it's the same mess. I see it happen all the time. It's like, guys, how could you miss the mark so bad here? Take the cast that you found charismatic that did well, use the name that's got branding and lasting effect, remake the set, and then bring in today's writers with topical ideas. Or, even better, go bring in the writers that you had back then, but have them with today's topical ideas. Don't bring in 2018 writers that are trying to speak in the voice of the guys you had on the payroll in the late 1980s. It's not rocket science. It's just not. There you go. They did $18 million. I hope they enjoyed the number. They will not see it again. But they may have legs. You don't need $18 million. I mean, that's a blockbuster. Oh my goodness, that's tremendous success.
How have you been liking the, just a little slightly off topic, but how have you been liking the 80s remakes of the movies, like Ghostbusters or all that?
I don't mind it. I'll tell you one I did enjoy was the A-Team. I mean, I'm going back a while, right?
Remember
Rampage did that? But I thought that it was well done. It went a little bit off script. It gave Bradley Cooper, who was Face, it gave him way too much control over Liam Neeson, who played Hannibal. Hannibal was in charge of the team. Don't ever get away from that ever in a million years. Don't get away from that. They did that. That was a little bit corny. It didn't work in that regard, but I did enjoy it. Overall, I give it 2 thumbs up. I wish they'd do it again.
Okay. So it's possible. They just don't do it.
I interrupted you. You were saying something a moment ago. What were you getting into?
I love that topic, though. Well, okay, so I'm going to ask you this. Should I just go back and watch the old Roseanne instead?
I wouldn't go that far. I actually really did like it. I actually did. I'm being a little bit hard on it, but the $18 million number, I am very confident when I tell you, it does not see that number again. But even if it did a quarter of that, if it could do a weekly rating of $4 million, that's a success. I mean, $18 million was just so through the roof. They made it an hour show. I didn't know that. I had a DVR, so I went and watched. It was an hour, which I enjoyed. And I really think the characters have good chemistry. I got to give it to her, too. You know, I was complaining to you about John Goodman the other day, but I told you he nails that role. He nailed it again. And he doesn't look a day older, by the way. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's not quite literal, but damn, he looks good. He really does look good for age. How long has it been? 20, 30? I mean, how long has it been? Looks really good.
Yeah,
the characters were solid. They really did mesh well together. It's just I don't know why they would bring in – it looked like they hired 20-something writers that wanted to try to go back in the mindset of the 1989 writers. It's like, no, guys, don't do that. Just get the chemistry in the set and give us a fresh script would be my advice.
Start where they are now.
Yeah, same thing they should have done. You know, again, I got to compare it to Governor Schwarzenegger. It was a big miss having him bring out his lines from the 80s. It was a huge, huge mistake.
I enjoyed it. I loved hearing him say "you're terminated" to all those people, though. That was fun. Maybe you didn't like it, but I enjoyed it anyway. I was talking about the guy, super small fight, but it made headlines, and we we missed it on Wednesday, but now we're talking about it. The guy who flipped off his opponent, and I'm not talking about flip off the bird. I'm talking about got on top of his knocked out opponent and did a front flip off his opponent.
Drew Catman.
Catman. We're getting that right?
Catman. I'm quite sure. We're very close. We'll call him Drew for this. That part is right. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Catman. So LFA, set this up for anybody that didn't see it. LFA show. And early fight, wasn't a featured match, was, I believe, televised. Not really relevant to the story. So Drew's opponent takes him down. I don't know if it was a wrestling move or if he knocked him down, but they go down to the canvas. The opponent comes on top. When the opponent comes on top, he knocks himself out. I believe he ran his head into Drew's knee.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. At any rate, he goes out. Opponent does. Drew gets up, jumps onto his opponent's back, and then hits a front flip off it. So the opponent is face down, unconscious. Drew jumps onto his back with both feet, jumps off, and does a front flip. They disqualified him, and then the executive director was pissed. And he's like, these are not his words, but he's like, that's a dirtbag move, and I'm going to throw the book at it as soon as I sit down and find out exactly what it is I can do. So let's talk about this, though. Was it a dirtbag move? Absolutely. Make no case otherwise. But let's not leave it there. Let's turn this into a discussion, so I'll play a little bit of devil's advocate for you. Here's the good news for Drew, as it stands to his pending punishment. Before it was stated by the executive director, Andy Foster, that I'm red hot about this. Before it was stated, and that timeline does matter, Drew came out and said, that's a scumbag move. I cannot believe I did that. Don't know what I was thinking in that millisecond of life, and I'm sorry. The reason the timeline matters is, for me, I took it as sincere. What does Executive Director Andy Foster want more than anything? He didn't want it to happen again. He didn't want Drew to do it. He doesn't want anybody else to do it in his state or otherwise, but we'll focus on his state. He doesn't want it to happen again. When a guy comes out as sincerely is sorry, boy, that helps. I mean, that does help. When you got a gap here, you got this big problem. Oh, that can shorten the gap pretty quick. Now, again, let's have some conversation on this because it's not open and shut. If Drew was to go in there with a good lawyer, and he will not have a good lawyer, but if he was, it does come down to the rules. Is it a scumbag move? Yeah, sure it is. Is there anything in the rules that says you can't be a scumbag? No. Was the guy unconscious? Yup. Did Drew know he was unconscious? Yup. Is there anything in the rules that says you have to stop once you're aware of that? Nope, there isn't. It goes to the referee. The referee has to step in. So I went and watched that tape over. I must have watched it 15 times. Over and over and over and over. So picture this. For anybody that didn't see it, you have the opponent laying face down. Drew then bends his knees and begins to jump into the air. Now, as soon as he leaves the ground, time has to stop because gravity's going to do the rest and bring him down and then into this motion that ended up being the front flip, right? So I'm telling you, it's a dead heat. I watched it 15 times. It's a dead heat from the time Drew leaves the ground to the referee realizing the guy's unconscious and stepping in and stopping the contest. It's a wash. Now, let me tell you the other side of that. Let's say Chael is the defense attorney for Drew, and I bring up that argument. The commission is simply going to say, all right, Chael, we will concede to you that it was done in good time. So now let's look at the technique itself. Because it was done with the feet, we're now talking about a kick. Because it was to the spine of the opponent, we're now not only talking about a violation, we're talking about a double violation. So which way do you want to go with this? Was it good time or bad? Or should we all just agree that it was wrong? We will take the apology and the time of it into consideration and then move forward from there. At which point you just kind of shuffle back into your seat and go, you're witness. So I want to offer you this, though, because, yeah, it was bad. It was bad. You don't want those things in MMA. You just don't. In any sport, you don't want those kind of bad moments. I do come to you a little bit weak on this. I'm a little bit weak because I took his apology and the timing of it prior to the executive director saying, I'm not done with you. That does matter. To the sincerity of it, I took it as sincere. I really think he just had a bad moment. And whether it was excitement, whether he had been hurt, maybe wasn't of sound mind, Maybe a combination. Maybe he's got some character issues he's got to work on. But I think when you couple those together and you look at the fact that he was disqualified, and to explain to you what that means, it's not just you have a disqualification on your record. Going and getting licensed after disqualification is tough. It happens. It happens all the time. But it generally requires a hearing where you must show up in person, which is time, which is money, which involves you bringing in representation, which is more money. So that's a punishment. In addition, I'm not sure you're aware of this, but if you are disqualified, you are no longer able to claim your show money. Did you know that?
No.
Yes. Yeah, so he not only doesn't get win money, as he shouldn't, but that may surprise you to learn he won't even get his show. So he has definitely been punished. And then what's the whole justice system about, right? You punish a guy, you give him some time for his bad action, with the hope, though, that he's reformed and won't do it again. That we won't know. Only time will tell. I can just tell you, for me, that apology meant something. It did mean something. It really did. Is it enough to call well enough alone? What do you think?
Well, here's the thing. There, you got to look at this two different ways. You got to look at this from a legal perspective and then just the LFA's perspective. Even if the court decides, you know what, everything was in the rules, let's punish him as far as what you were saying, what, a kick to the spine? We'll even punish him that far. But maybe it's not that much. We're gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. There's that rule and there's that suspension, but then there's the commission within the actual league you have to deal with. Those are two different punishments labeling out. The owner can say, you know what, they gave you a lighter sentence per se. They said you were within the rules and all that, but here's what I saw, and you have to get by me too.
Sure.
So I kind of want, I'm with you on this. I don't want to see that. It was an ugly looking video, ugly looking ending to that. And I don't want to see that happen again either. I do kind of want a punishment to go a little bit further. Maybe a year ban or something.
Ooh,
like that.
Really? That's strict, huh?
Maybe something like that. I'm just throwing that out there. Yes, he has been punished. That you pointed that out. I didn't know that he lost all his show money. But to kind of nail that in further down the road, you know, time is one of the best ways to just time off is one of the best ways for someone to think about, you know what, that was really bad of me. You're like, in the heat of the moment, all of this is just happening on him really quick. You know, he can apologize all and being sincere. That's great. But sometimes the punishment doesn't really sink in without time. And sure, then having that time to go, you know what, I'm just sitting here because of this and not getting paid for my time. I think that's the best way you got to do it. I think this has to go down the road a little bit more for him.
Yeah, and then you have a couple of masters you want to serve there too, which is also you don't want anybody else to do it, right? You want him to see that and not do it. So, yeah, it does matter. I don't want to just be weak on it. And I don't mean to just bring up money either. You know, I did that when I was defending John Jones a little bit. Well, they took a bunch of his money. I'm not coming to you with the mindset that you can do wrong and then write a check. I don't come to you with that. But it is prize fighting. He is doing it for them. They took it all away. He's got managers and trainers and I mean, there is a real lesson learned here that does come from the financial component of it. That does transcend over other sports too. When we see wrongdoing in the NFL or Major League Baseball or the NBA, where they will take a fine and usually just call it that. I don't really see this big suspension thing like they do. Oh, he suspended three games, but that constitutes a week sometimes if you're talking about the NBA. So I am for kicking him. He did something bad here. I am for kicking him, but I'm not for piling on him. And I just come to you just as one guy's opinion. I guess I just took his apology as sincere. I really did. And call me a sucker, I don't think I am. I think that he meant it, and I think because it did come out before Executive Director Andy Foster said, I'm taking another look, I think that does matter. If he did it after the fact, I mean, that's of course he would do that. I'm sorry. Maybe he would do it again. Maybe he wanted to do it again. Probably wouldn't. Probably would learn his lesson. But the sincerity of the apology does change. I thought the timing was pretty good. If I could give him some advice, I would call the opponent. I would call him up, say, man, that was a scumbag move. I don't know what happened there. Great fight. I apologize to you. I hope you take, you know, just privately. I hope that we're good. So I don't want it to be the end of this poor guy, right? I mean, he's working his way up the ladder. He's doing all these. I just don't want it to be the end of him for a bad. It was a terrible decision. It was a terrible decision, but I guess I'll leave it at that. I can't really finish that thought. It was a terrible decision, but I don't want, you know, there's a limit. There's a limit. How much do you want from him?
I don't want his life. No, not there even close. Not,
right.
I don't want him suspended for life.
Banned
kind of
for
thing.
Life, right.
No. I do expect his attitude. If he's sincere, I do expect his attitude, whatever punishment comes down, to be sincere as well. Like, yes, I deserve that.
Sure.
And that will help a lot, too. Just take it all. Just take all the blame and say, yep, that was me. I know what I did wrong. Just keep saying that over and over and over. But I feel like it does need to be a little bit past the disqualification of the day. That's
I'm
my
being a little soft on it. Well, there you go. We'll see how all that plays out.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
True crime fans rejoice. Small Town Murder is now on Podcast One. Crime and Sports' James Petragallo and Jimmy Wissman look at small towns, what makes them tick, and the murders that took place there. In-depth research, horrible tragedy, and the host's comedic spin on the whole thing. What can go wrong? Subscribe to hear new episodes every Thursday on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts.
Now, back to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Are you following what's going on with Canelo and Triple G?
Not so much. What's going on?
Okay, well, it's hard to get this. Yeah, it's hard to get this clear because, you know, it's just so much smoke and mirrors. It just is, right? Canelo fails a drug test, and he's getting ready to fight Triple G. And he's in something called VADA, some voluntary testing commission that Triple G had negotiated into the contract, or they both, however this ended up in the contract, however and why ever he agreed to it, this is the spot that he's in, and he fails it. I don't know how that paper works. I've never been under VADA. I never would be under VADA. I would never agree to something like that. It always stuns me when somebody does, when they would do something extraordinary to the government, to the commission's test. It always surprises me why you would elect to do that. So at any rate, I don't know that paperwork. I'm trusting somewhere in that paperwork, whether you want to call it HIPAA, if I'm using the right term, wherever you do away with your privacy. I don't have knowledge of that because I haven't been in on this, but that would be the very first question I had. If I fail a drug test today that is not through a commission, you had better never know about it. You had better not, because whoever conducted that test and with whatever authority they have, it has to be contained within that scope. So the first thing that Canelo should be able to do is to says who. Now, I'm trusting, since it did come out and since he spoke on it publicly instead of just keeping his mouth shut, that he must have also signed something saying you can disclose the results of this test. Okay, fine. How does that carry over to the commission? I don't know. I know at first it didn't. It did not at all. You and I even did a thing on this saying, hey, I've never heard of somebody failing a test, but the commission not having reach over them. So we didn't know that rule, and not attempting to weigh in an opinion on that. But we learned something. Okay, they apparently don't have reach over him. Well, then that changed. About 2 weeks had gone by, and all of a sudden, the commission in Nevada suspends him. It's a temporary suspension. And this is where I offer to you that we're seeing some smoke and mirrors, okay? I have a promoter's license. I know the rules that go along with that. And I can tell you now, if I put on an event, and yes, I always have the right to put with an asterisk at the bottom of the flyer and on all of the tickets and all of the promotional material, that the card is subject to change. And it is, and it has to be. I can also share with you that I must have a good faith belief that I can deliver to the fans what it is I am selling a ticket for. If I do not have a good faith belief that I can deliver the card that I am proposing, that's called fraud. And somebody goes to jail. It's illegal. So this fight between Canelo and Triple G, while Canelo is allegedly suspended, the tickets are still on sale. The promoter on record is still pushing that through commercialized materials, including billboards that I saw with my own eyes when I was in Las Vegas 6 days ago. So what in the hell is going on here? Somebody's in violation. Either the promoter needs his license taken and he needs to take down all commercial material because he does not have a good faith interest, good faith belief that he can deliver on his retail product known as a ticket. The athlete needs to be cleared, or suspended and all needs to be stopped. That's your second option. Or third, we're seeing smoke and mirrors on the taxpayer's dime. Those are your three options. The interest of the promoter, the commerce, and the athlete's license, which is now allegedly suspended, are in direct conflict of one another. They cannot all three be happening simultaneously. They cannot. Yet they are. So you tell me who's at fault here. Is it the promoter? Is it the fighter? Or is it the commission who's operating this on taxpayer dollars? And I'm suggesting to you that this decision is made, that this decision was never actually up in the air to start with, that the show does move forward, which is why commercial outlets are still taking tickets, why betting is still taking place, and why no alternate has been offered. I suggest to you, because it is a backroom deal on taxpayer dollars. When you put that in conjunction with the Adelaide Bird situation, I mean, you can only look away so many times. You can. You can only look away so many times before you go, guy, what are we doing here? And who's writing the check for this? And why?
The way you describe that makes me suspicious personally toward the commission. It sounds like, to put it in a nutshell, that this commission wants to show they have some sort of muscle, and they don't. So they're just saying, let's just pretend. Let's pretend we have more authority than we do, and we'll pretend to suspend. But then the fight still goes on, because they know this is the moneymaker fight. We can't lose money. Either way, yes, that is corrupt.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's dirty. Like, guys, why are you bringing this attention to yourself? I didn't put you in this spot. I didn't suggest this.
Because you just said they don't originally have, nor we were just talking about, they don't have the authority to make a judgment on that drug test, though, right?
Well, no, I don't actually know. No, I don't know that. I'm telling you that I don't have knowledge of that because I've never been part of VOD. I don't actually know a damn thing about that. But at this point, unless he had signed something giving VOD the right to go out and publicly release this and share this with other commissions, this would be as simple as prove it. At this point, you're suspending me and you're holding up commerce over a rumor. A rumor. So it's incumbent upon you to have that test and know about it. Now, we are long past that. I'm not suggesting that Canelo should offer that because he has come out to the media and said, yes, I failed this test. Remember, he did the Mexican meat thing and he did all these. So I suspect that, based on that evidence, I'm suspecting that, yeah, he did sign something that said, yeah, you bet we can share this. We can share this with the public. We can share this with athletic commissions. You bet we can. I'm just offering to you that it's very bizarre that you would suspend a fighter, call him in. Taxpayers are paying for that. That's relevant. That's as relevant as government can possibly be, and a need for transparency when the people of Nevada are paying for it. Yet less than a mile away sits the venue, which Marquee is still advertising the fight and which box office is still selling tickets at a premium for, a promoter of license who must have a good faith effort that he can deliver, and no alternate being suggested. What are we doing here?
It feels like they're trying to grab a double win out of this situation, which in this case, the way you're bringing it up doesn't work at all, because they're trying to, well, one, they're trying to look tough, and then they want their fight to go on. Is there something dirty? You mentioned. Well,
there's absolutely nothing dirty about any of this. Nothing. As long as they don't call the hearing. As long as you don't have a hearing where you're all paid and we're reserving a building and we're keeping the lights on and we're paying somebody to clean it at the end of the night and the general fund of the state is writing the check for that, as long as none of those things happen, none of this is dirty. It's not. Triple G is some kind of an agreement. I don't know what it would be. Hey, the fight's off if you fail this VADA thing. There's a reason we're doing VADA. It's not just so we know the answer. It's so that you're following the rules. So he has something in his clause. Or I get 20%, or I get 30%, or, hey, you get to fail the test, but I get to miss weight by 5 pounds. I mean, I'm trying to just be creative for you. He could put anything in the contract that he wants. He doesn't seem to have asked for any of those things, including the cancellation of the fight. So I don't know why they would possibly have it in there. So if he wants to fight and he wants to fight and the commission goes, look, it's fair ball and we didn't do this test and we don't have jurisdiction, there is nothing dirty about it. The only thing dirty about it is calling a hearing that taxpayers are going to pay for when a decision is already made. I suggest to you, since the venue that I saw with my own eyes on Wednesday of last week is still advertising the fight and tickets are still being sold at a premium in a retail business at the discretion ultimately of the Attorney General's office, unless you're committing fraud in that state, then that fight's going to take place, which is okay until you have a hearing where you have a decision that's already made and then you ask to be paid for that hearing. That's where it gets dirty, and I just don't know why they would put themselves in that spot. I don't have the foggiest idea. I get that there's no Overwatch. I get that people aren't going to understand this on the intellectual level that I just explained. I do understand that, but somebody is. Somebody there that's got a cell phone to the governor is eventually going to call BS on this and go, Governor, what are we doing here? How much money out of the general fund can we take? Oh, and by the way, that judge that cost a lot of people in this little city in the desert that keeps the lights on through gaming, that judge is now back on the clock too. How many things do you want to do before somebody finally gets it and goes, oh, light bulb on? How many do you want to do?
Smelly.
Whole thing works. Whole thing. Do it all. Do everything. Take the tone, everything that I'm saying, everything I'm doing. You take it all away. You just don't have the hearing. You just don't have the hearing. So taxpayers are paying for it, unless it's a straight hearing. If it's a straight hearing, go ahead and hold it and have that taxpayers pay for it. That's what the commission's there for. Takes every argument, every bitterness you hear in my tone, chops me off at the knees. It's done. It would beg the question, if it's going to be a straight hearing 1 mile away at the venue, why does it still have their names on it? Because that's not being done for free. Somebody's writing a check for that. Somebody that by law must have a good faith interest and belief that they can deliver on that product. You see the problem?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
So what in the hell are we doing here? Let's move on.
Okay. I had to bring this up. Bisping says he is interested in fighting at Liverpool.
All right.
Retirement.
Cool. When is that? Roughly. Summer?
Summer-ish, yeah.
And he's saying this will be my last one?
He's dropping that around. You know, no one has mentioned an opponent for him. He's denied a few. We've seen that already. I had a thought. What if he fought Darren Till?
Well, different weight classes.
Well, sure. But what if?
Oh, you're saying for fun, put him with Till?
Yeah.
Why not? Because of the British. Well, I've got no problem with it. They're different weight classes. I think that Till is an up-and-comer, possibly breakthrough fighter of the year. Can you believe that? I would go that far. His one fight over Cowboy. So I can't wait till Till's next fight. I didn't even know who he was. Remember when Brandon Schaub got in all sorts of trouble for saying that? Why Cowboy fight this guy? I don't even know who he is. So I was kind of on Schaub's side of that, just going, who is he? I don't know. I don't know who someone is until I know. I can't wait till his next fight. I mean, what a difference a day makes. So I would just offer to you, when you have different weight classes and you have different competitors, I get what you're saying. You're saying, boy, you're going to draw a house. Absolutely. And you're going to say the biggest star that England's ever produced could pass the torch quite possibly to the next biggest. Am I right?
That's kind of your contention?
Yeah. And I get that. But, you know, something else has been going on with Bisping. You know, for a guy that has spent a career fighting anybody at any time, he has been quite selective for this retirement fight. I got no problem with it. I give it to him. We may get a retirement fight. It may have been Gastelum. He may not go out and do one more. Don't know. I only know what he says, and he's kind of gone back and forth on that. But for the first time in his career, he is being selective. And they offered him Rashad, Vitor. Both were no's. I want to say there was another. Well, the Luke Rockhold thing won't go away. And Rockhold would be a fair opponent because he's coming off a loss. So I don't know which way the wind is going to blow on Bisping, and I don't know that I have a suggestion. I don't know that I go, oh, this is a fight that I really want to see. Let's say Romero goes and fights Whitaker and Romero loses. He and Romero have that heat. How bad does he really want that? If he's being selective on his last fight, you don't then settle in on Yoel Romero, do you?
I'd say no. I'd say no.
I mean,
I'd say yes if it was not a retirement fight.
Sure.
But on his last fight, I'm like, well, what's he got to offer?
Oh, any other?
That's why I say Darren Till, though, because Darren Till's up and coming. It doesn't really affect Darren Till if he loses, and it certainly, well, it's just stock up on both ways, and it's significant. It's symbolic, too,
you know,
like you were just saying.
I'm fond of you. You know that. I like you. You're a very nice guy.
Well, thank you.
I'm happy when I get to come in here and see you.
Thanks.
It brings me no pleasure to know how bad you're going to get destroyed on social media for suggesting Bisping and Till.
Why not?
The kids are going. The kids on something called the Underground are going to light you up, my friend. And I take no pleasure in that.
Okay. You see where I'm coming from, though?
I do.
The divisions are changing. Cross-division fights are kind of the thing now. Why not? That's all I got. That's all I got. I looked at that fight. I saw the headline, and I thought, why not? Why not Darren Till? It wouldn't have much super meaning to it as far as rankings or anything like that, but it'd be a fun fight to see. That's all I'm saying. And it's not that far from division. What is that? They're like one division apart. That's not a big dip at all.
May I make a suggestion to you?
Sure.
Over the course of the weekend.
Sure.
Stay off the computer. Don't go to the Underground forum and type in your name.
I don't care.
I'll tell you what. I will tell you this, to be nice, because I like you. That would do one hell of a house. In England, without question, they're going to sell out. I just don't know worldwide. I mean, you're talking about two guys from two different... You know what? I don't need to say anything. You want to know what people... Just go to the Underground. The Underground Forum will be saying it all about that idea. However, it would sell out. I must give you that. That is a sellout fight.
I'm thinking promotion style. I deserve a little credit there.
Listen. Bisping's going to do big numbers and so's Till. So in that regard, good for you.
Not to mention the fact that Bisping's been picky, so why not go wild?
You know, to that point, then being picky, man, Darren Till. Ooh, that's a rough guy. That might be the best fighter in the world.
Sure.
He might be. I mean, it's going to take a little bit of time. It's going to take through 2018, maybe even into 2019. Well, definitely into 2019, but probably not very far before he gets that title shot. He might walk out of there with the belt around his waist. He's that good. He also is a lot younger. He's also from a different weight class. He also does not have the name recognition of Michael Bisping. I mean, I'm just answering your question. I tried to let you off the hook, but I felt like you challenged me. I felt like you actually said to me, why not? I let it go. You said, why not again? I let it go. You asked a third time, out of respect to you, my friend, I'm answering your question. That would be the reasons why not.
I don't know. I don't buy it. I'd be fun. Okay, let's change the
subject.
I
tell you what, old Michael Bisping, any other time in his career but retirement fight, he'll take it. Absolutely, he would. He's being a little bit selective.
Which is fine.
Yeah, and he went through a pretty rough month, if you remember, right? Top of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Champion. GSP. Gatslam. Timeout. Right? He called timeout.
Serious.
Hey,
yeah,
give me a breather here. Just give me a minute to breathe. So
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him either. He's got the right man. First time in his very long career where he's a little bit picky. But I don't know what you do with him. The reason I say that, I wasn't clamoring to see the Rashad fight. However, it did make a lot of sense. And they had fought before. And they're both, you know, they were both kind of talking about a retirement fight. So I could see where the promoter would go, well, what in the hell do I have to lose here? I was kind of into that fight. And then I was a sell on Rockhold. Wasn't dying to see that one. But I was a taker on Vitor. Now, he has his own personal reasons for not wanting to fight Vitor. Right, Vitor was on TRT, knocked Bisping out, but he also caused the eye damage to Bisping. So he's very resentful and has a very good reason to be. I can just tell you as a fan, because of those very same reasons, let's lock him in there one more time. That was a hit for me, but Bisping didn't like it. So I'm not going to push back because I do think that his reasons are kind of beyond reproach. So I don't have a great opponent for him. I don't want the Yoel fight. I'll tell you that right now. Should Yoel lose to Whitaker? I don't want Yoel Bisping, so take that one away. And a lot of people will want that one. So I'm a sell on that one. So I don't totally know where you go with him. What are you going to do with him? I don't know. I think perhaps you let Anthony Smith and Rashad play out, and you take the winner of that fight. Perhaps that's a random idea I just gave you, but perhaps I think we need a couple of more months. I think we need a couple of more fights in the division. I don't think there's an obvious answer sitting in front of us right now, and the landscape changes very, very quickly. So let a little bit of it play out, and then let's see. But I am on the side that we give Bisping some slack, that he did some heavy lifting for a very long time. He wants to go out. Promoter never wants to send anybody out on top, so it's not going to be a gimme for him. And wish him well. There you go.
There you go. Okay, so I saw headlined. I was talking.
God, you're going to get destroyed on the underground.
No, okay. Whatever, man. Whatever.
Okay, Till versus Bisping.
Whatever.
Why not?
I'm behind it.
Why not?
I'm still behind it.
Why not?
Anyway, I had the Grand Prix came up again a little bit. I was just curious how are you training right now? Are you training anymore? What are you watching any videos of Mir and Fedor?
Yeah, so
just prepping for either one. I was just wondering.
Yeah, so of course I'm training. Yeah, absolutely. But no, I'm not. I'm kind of letting that one play out. I'm kind of just waiting on that one. You know, you can only focus on something for so long before you drive yourself crazy. So I've enjoyed the period of not knowing who it is, and they're really different. I mean, they really are different, not only in size, but in style. Yeah, I think Fedor's a striker. And I think if you look at his record, you could go, well, where'd you come up with that conclusion? Because he's done such great work on the ground. But I think he's a striker. I think he did some of his best work, not only on his feet with the hands, but also with his ground and pound, which is so vicious. And then you got Frank Mir, can do a little bit of everything. But you bet your ass you better not let him lock anything on you. I mean, period. He gets his hands locked. Whew. You're in trouble. So I think you have a kind of a striker versus a grappler. They're complete fighters. But I think for the most part, so you've got two really different guys. And I don't want to go, I'm going to go hedge my bet that Frank's going to beat him and spend this time planning for Frank and the Fedor. I'm just going to practice. I do what the coach is asking me. I go home at the end of the day. That's where I'm at. And that'll change a little bit once that fight plays out, because that fight's coming up, April 28th, April 29th? It's last weekend in April.
Yep.
Out of Chicago. It's going to be fun. Who do you got in that fight?
You know, I'm kind of leaning toward Mir, actually. I'd prefer Fedor to win, just for your sake, but I think Mir's going to take it.
Now, what's that supposed to mean? Size?
Kind of. Though
Mir's a big son of a bitch, isn't he?
Here's the thing, though.
He's a big guy.
Here's the thing, though. You took down a big guy, so I know you can take down Mir. That's the thing. I just think it would be... I think it's a better matchup for you.
For your sake.
Are you offended by that?
Not really. I'm just I'm playing the wounded duck over here. No, actually, not in the least. And I think there's some pluses to him, but I haven't really put myself in that spot. If I was to do it right now, Frank is really big, and I think that maybe Fedor is a little faster. I don't know. I'm interested in that fight. I wish that fight would have happened. The fan in me, not the competitor in me, just the fan in me, and that's how I'm going to enjoy this match. Deal with the rest later, but... I've been wanting that fight for a long time.
The Fedor fight?
Yeah, Fedor versus Mir.
You called him out, though, after your Vanderlei fight.
Yeah, you're talking me and Fedor. Yeah, sure. But, I mean, Fedor versus Mir, you know, Fedor was a champion in Japan, the Pride organization, that had a debate. I don't know how this debate gained any legs, but there was a debate that it was, you know, the premier organization in the world. I have no idea where that came, but... It existed by the same people that are destroying you on the internet right now on something called the Underground. Those kids started a mythical debate that Pride was some great organization. And Mir was the champion of North America, champion of the world, but North Americans in the UFC. And I always did want to see that fight. So I am glad, but I'm going to sit back and enjoy it. I'm not going to get too many competitive juices going until the day after.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's really not for me to figure out. Man, that's up to Clayton. I mean, Clayton's the one that's got to sit down and watch that fight and then determine who does what and then tell me. All right, I don't overthink that stuff too much, but I am looking forward to that. Bader did an interview recently. And Bader said he would like to fight Fedor in the finals.
I saw something about that, too. It was like his dream matchup or something like that.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I thought it was interesting for a few reasons. He had said he wanted to fight Fedor, and Fedor was a legend, and... you know, I'm scratching my head on that. Is he? I don't know. Is he? To a hardcore MMA guy, yeah. Yeah, he did. And in North America, which is where the fans exist and where the money is made, I mean, people, is that true? I don't want to discount a guy I'm going to go fight. I mean, I'd like to build him up, right? I'd like to build him up. What have he got over on me? I'm going to call him a bum right now. But I am looking at that and just trying to be a little bit fair and go, where did that come from? Where did this legend status come from? And what exactly does that mean, legend? I always think of old. I think it means the guy's old. I think it means that he, you know, used to fight. I don't know that a current guy could be a legend. Or maybe the few current guys that can also obtain legend status, maybe that's just a tremendous compliment. I don't look at it that way. So when I hear Bader say, I want to fight legend. I hear him go, I want to fight an old guy that's past due. And I don't know, man. I didn't really get any of it.
You could look at it the other way and say he doesn't want to fight you.
Yeah, oh, I'll stick a foot so far up Bader's ass. He's got that one coming anyway. I don't know who he was trying to, you know, condescend to in that interview. It's like, hey, Bader, make no – because he brought my name up in that interview. It's like, Bader, make no mistake. I am the number one contender for your division. The division which most people think I'm the champion of and you're the contender to me. You're actually got the belt. God knows how. But you actually have the belt and I'm your contender, contrary to common belief. So when we get done with this heavyweight tournament, which I may steamroll you in, should you make it to the finals, I'm going to whip your ass for that belt that should be mine in the first place. So I didn't really know what he was trying to achieve there other than poke the bear and piss him off, which he succeeded in.
And he says something nice. Like, oh, I know Chael would build that fight, so I'd like to.
Bader, excuse me. I'll build any fight that I want. You got nothing to do with it. You just now happen to piss me off. So congratulations, but as the old expression goes, be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. And now, my friend, whether it's in the heavyweight tournament or it's after the tournament because of that interview, I promise you, you are going to get it.
Two belts on Chael. How'd that look? Yeah. Just got to think about that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to hit Bader in the head with one and shove the other one up his ass. Go to break. All right, buddy. Hey, I'll tell you and I'll tell everybody this. Some helpful tips for your car that you may not be aware of. Did you guys know a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil will clean your car's interior? Removing excess weight from your car will improve the gas mileage. Placing the key fob on your chin will increase its range. Weird, right? Well, here's one more tip you might not know about. TrueCar also helps people to purchase used cars. That's right. TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience. Whether you buy new or used, and with TrueCar, users can see what others paid, so they know if they're getting a good deal before buying. They are also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with a TrueCar certified dealer. When you're ready to buy, new or used, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Hey, by the way, why do you always take that crap from Joel all the time? Does he scare you? Between you and me, does he scare you a little bit? I mean, he's a big guy, and he comes in screaming.
Is. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I mean, is there like a part of you that ever thinks, hey, this could turn physical because this guy is a little bit unstable?
I think teddy bear sometimes.
No, so you dismiss him that away?
I think he's just grizzly bear sometimes, yeah.
It puts me in a little bit of an awkward spot when he comes in and just starts yelling at you.
I try
to read your body.
You know, I'm okay with it, but I never know.
I
was here, right here next to you guys when you guys were on the show all the time. I saw that all the time. I had a different perception. He comes, he has the Godfather, he's got the Barbarian, I think grizzly bear. And there's the rough side, and then there's the soft side.
No, wait a minute, grizzly bear or teddy bear? These are drastically different things.
Well, yeah, I was going to say teddy bear, but he has too much grizzly in him to say all the way. So kind, what would you want to call it? Just a bear?
When he comes here and he screams at you, does that make you uncomfortable?
Show-wise, yeah. But,
okay,
hey,
it does. It does a little bit.
Hey, but yeah, I've seen enough of him to go, hey, I know.
Are you okay with it, or do you want me to put an end to him?
Why would I put an end to
coming in here?
Why would I put an end to it?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. I don't want to put you in a hostile work environment. If you're a well, I'm asking. It's a fair. I appreciate you laughing.
No,
I appreciate that because that tells me it's okay. But
no, you want full on.
I don't want to walk him through. I want to be candid with you though. I don't want. Maybe we should do this privately. But I don't want him to walk in this room. Put on a little bit of a performance. Some of it's performance. Some of it's he's a bit unhinged. It's why we have him on here. But I don't want to do that and put you in a corner where you're going, Chael, I kind of trusted you. I was having a good day, and you bring in this guy, and he's screaming at me and threatening to snap and drag me. I mean, are you a willful participant in whatever this nuttiness is that he does? I will never let him touch you. You're aware of that.
Oh, well, sure, yeah.
Okay. Do you know what I'm trying to ask right now? Are you comfortable in this when he comes walking through the door?
Do you want full honesty? Right
yeah, I
here?
Do. Yeah,
I actually was wondering if I should come back with some sort of retort now. This is kind of what I was thinking, and I'm not quite sure how to do it yet. Is the thing? I'm working on that. Though.
Okay,
I'm working on it. It's funny. He's a more of a veteran to this business. Okay, hey, he's seen it. He knows how it's played. I'm new. I'm still trying to figure that out. He built an identity. Good for him. I don't have one yet. I'm just going to say that right now. And if it comes by trying to make a little thing between me and Joel, hey, that's okay. That's actually kind of fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just not quite sure how to do it yet.
I like everything you're saying. I want to ask you again just so I get an expressly clear answer. And you can edit this whole thing. This probably should have just been privately between us. Do you ever feel like you're in an unsafe environment?
No.
Okay. You don't. It's playful no. for you.
Yes.
Even when he breaks bad and I'm spitting at the mic. And
I'm grinning all over the
all
place.
Right. I guess that's really all I need to know. So I'm going to ask the same thing. I'm going to ask it one more way. So I get an answer I'm satisfied with. When I bring him in here and I don't tip you off to it ahead of time, he just kind of shows up.
I love it.
Okay, there's no part of your stomach that sinks and you go, crap, I'm going to have a crappy day at work today. All right, we're good then.
I love it. In fact, I that's what I'm telling you. I feel like I need to make it better somehow.
All right.
There you go.
No, if you're...
I just dared you to go. Yeah.
No, I'm satisfied. There you goed me again. All right, young man, I have had it with you. You got anything else for me?
No, I do not.
All right, let's call it. Everybody, enjoy your weekend. For Jacob, I'm Chael, and until next Wednesday, you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com. New to Podcast One, Red Circle Sports with Dennis Miller.
The thing about LeBron is I think he's reached that point now where he realizes maybe the organization, although Gilbert seems like a bit of a shaky cat to me, but I think they realize that they cannot do the full bore ice capades every night and show the colors. They have to eat it a little once in a while because, quite frankly, it doesn't matter until it gets in the playoffs, right? Until you get in the kill zone. That takes a month and a half.
To hear new episodes each Tuesday from Dennis Miller, subscribe exclusively on Apple Podcasts, podcastone.com, or on the new Podcast One app. Don't forget to review and leave a 5-star rating.